Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy, they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this your word. And Father, for Him to give us the revelation and the truth of your word, so that we do not pass on anything to someone else that is not of truth. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we was in the fifth chapter of Matthew. But that was a big chapter. We didn't get all the way through it. In fact, we made it through the 26th verse. So we're going to be picking up here at verse 27 and going on through, see if we can't get on through to the end of it. So there is 48 verses in this. All right. Now, I want you to stick with me, because something in this weather, and we got a pretty day out there, but there's pollen or something that is causing a lot of phlegm and all together in my throat. Now, beginning here with 27, says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yes, it goes all the way back into the Old Testament even, to some of the prophets back there. Although, under the law, they were a lot different than we are today. You see, they could have more than one wife. Now, you and I, that's all we can have. One living wife. And ladies, you can only have one living husband. Or else you're committing adultery. We'll be getting into that a lot deeper when we go further in to the New Testament. Now, 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see, your mind and your heart and your eyes can get you in a lot of trouble. But when you walk with God and you are walking in obedience unto his word. Pardon me a moment. You'll find that you're not going to be doing things that way. You know, we have ladies out here that dress just to get men to look at them. But when they go to dress prerogative and all, to those of us that are the children of Almighty God, it just lets us know that they don't think much of themselves. And we're not looking at them with lust, wanting them in any sexual way. Now, 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, you know, he's telling us there, if thy right eye offend thee, and he goes on to talk then, the logical thing to do would be to pluck it out. But his point is not that one should literally pluck out his eyes, but that one should recognize that the source of lust comes from within the mind and the heart of man, not from the physical organ itself. Now, you see, that's what I was making the statement about. Because we do today have a lot of women that are dressing away, way too skimpy. And they're doing it because they want men to look at them. Now, they may not have lust and things in their mind, but they're wanting to draw man's attention to them. Now, verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. But you see, he's trying to make the point that we need to be guarding our mind and our hearts. With our thoughts being pure and all the things of God, instead of being distracted by other things. Now, 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. We know under Mosaic law that Moses did tell them to, if they had put their wife away, to give her a writing of divorcement. But you see, that today doesn't work too well either. Because once divorced, neither of you is to remarry as long as the spouse is living. Because if you do, then you and the one you marry are both committing adultery. Now, we'll find out about that. Now, here in 32, he says, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now, in a lot of our churches, that verse is being used in order that a lot of them that are divorcing each other, they are using that as an excuse and claiming that it's all right for them to remarry. No, that's not what he's saying. Now, if your spouse is committing fornication against you, whether it be husband or wife, then that does give you a reason for divorce. But you are to stay single. Now, we get back into that a little later, and especially when we get back in to the New Testament again, because it is spelled out very, very plainly in 1 Corinthians. Now, 33. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. Now, but you see, when we forswear like that, means to swear falsely or perjure oneself. And we know that oaths taken in the name of the Lord were looked upon as binding and perjury of such oaths were strongly condemned by the law. And by the time of Christ, the Jews had developed an elaborate system of oath-taking, which often formed the basis of actual lying. So we need to be very careful. Now, your word, when we are talking with others, your word should be actually known as your bond. And people that know you know that if you say something, that is exactly what you mean. And if you have told them you will do something, they know that you are going to do exactly that, because your word should be your bond. And you're not happy to make oaths or to swear to different things, because mankind will know that when you speak, you're speaking truth. Now, 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, the city of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to be swearing by any of those. Now, 36. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. In other words, you can't swear by your head. Really, what this is letting you and I know, that we are not to swear. Period. And we're being told that here in so many different ways, even. Now, he goes on here now, telling you that, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Let your answers be yes and no, and just mean them. When you speak them, you are speaking truth, because that is what you are going to do. Now, But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And we do. We hear that a whole lot, don't we? And among those that claim to be Christians, somebody does something to them, they want to get back at them, and they'll use that sentence and say, well, you know, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But you see, they didn't take the rest of it. Because the rest of it says, here in 39, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You see, that's being one that is forgiving, just as the Lord Jesus forgives us for the things we did. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. In other words, two. Because we are not to work and walk by holding grudges and wanting to get even with someone that has done something to us or against us. Now, 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. We are to be helping those that are in need with whatsoever we can. Now, there are times for most of us that someone will need help, but we can't help them at the time because we just don't have what they need. But we can still love them and pray for them. And ask God to help them by supplying their needs, because he does know where he can get it from. But we must be honest and denying that help. If we would have what they needed, and we just wouldn't help. We had to tell them something. So that means, besides not helping, we're telling a lie also. 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And this is another verse that is used. But you see, they take these verses out of their setting. They don't use at all. Because here in 44, following up from that, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, persecute you. We have no excuse whatsoever to hate anyone. Now, if they are walking in evil, we hate the evil, but we love that person. And that can be hard for some until you have walked strong in the Lord and for a time, and then you find it not hard for you at all. Now, 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, that all belongs to the Lord God. We are to love him and to be of help whenever we can, in whatever way that we can do it. Now, yes, there are times when we can't. There need to be just something more than what we've got, or it'll be something we don't have at all. Now, 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? In other words, those that are walking in darkness, they love each other and all. Doesn't matter what they're doing. They'll buddy up and love each other. But most of them won't love you and I because we belong to the Lord God. But we have to love them. 47. And if ye salute your brother only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You see, we can't love just our brothers, because all of mankind, see, will do that. But we have to love all of mankind. our brothers and those that are our enemies also. Now, 48, we'll be closing with this because we'll be going in to chapter 6. And chapter 6 is another pretty long chapter, and it's full of things to learn also. 48. Oh, there's that word most people today hate and want to claim there is no such thing. 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, you know, I'm going to read you a footnote on that verse here in my Bible, because you see, mankind, a lot of times, gets the wrong revelation of these verses. Now, in the footnote, it says this section of the Sermon on the Mount is summarized with the statement, be ye therefore perfect. Since the New Testament is clear that even the believer is capable of sin, the term perfect is not to be taken as sinless perfection. Perfect here means complete. That is, possessing a complete love that, like God, embraces those who love you as well as those who do not. But no, you're going to find as we go through again, some of you come in a little late as when we were going through the New Testament, which we are now going to be doing again. But you'll find place after place that is telling you to be perfect as He is perfect, and that you are to be sinless. Oh, nobody can be that. You see, that's what a lot of our churches are teaching. Nobody can be that. But that is not according to the Word of Almighty God, because the Word of God tells us plainly. It don't pull no punches. And you see, in order for you to make heaven your home, you've got to be born again. And when you are born a born-again child of God, you don't commit sin. Oh, there ain't nobody can live without committing sin. I heard that taught in church after church after church most of my young life. But when you go to the Gospel of John and the third chapter of it, you'll find that the Lord Jesus is telling Nicodemus that no one, that means no one, that's us, as well as anyone can get into the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Here's what it says, so you'll know it's in the Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting with verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, came from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily. When you see these verily, verily, it means pay attention. It's important. Here in verse 5 says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, when we are filled with that Holy Spirit of Almighty God, that is when we are born again. And you know, now, when you look at 1 John, chapter 3, and it is telling us exactly about being born again. No ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes about it. It's true and straight to the point. In chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin, let me see something. Let's back up here now to verse 4. Now let's go come one more, verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He's speaking about Jesus there now. Now, we're told that we are in Jesus and Jesus in us. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. You can't get any plainer. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, you say, well, I'm saved, I'm born again. Have you reached that point of being born again? Well, let's find out. 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, we have been being deceived by mankind for quite a few years back. You see, I'm old enough that I have seen the church as it grew weaker and weaker and weaker and fall away from God, His Word, and teaching things of its own that is contrary to the Word of God. We're going to be getting into a lot of that. That contrary teaching as we go on through this. I want you to understand that. Now, we are to love all mankind and we are to give them the truth of God's word. Not hearsay, but the truth of his word. When you are really talking to someone, and especially to someone that is walking in darkness, that is still lost, and you're trying to get them to come out of that and to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess their sins and all. As you talk to them, be sure you've got your Bible with you and that you are using the words from the Holy Bible as you talk to him. And make sure that you're not leaving things out, but that you are leaving things in the setting in which they are written. That's the way you understand things. And you get the right revelation of what God is wanting us to know from the Word. That's the way we're taught. And as the Holy Spirit will guide you, you're not going to be teaching somebody wrong things. We're going to be stopping here. God willing, we can pick up in chapter 6 tomorrow. Because you see, chapter 6 has got 34 verses. And a lot of them are pretty good sized verses because it contains a whole lot. We're going to be dealing with Jesus' teaching on almsgiving, his teaching on prayer, his teaching on fasting, his teaching about treasures in heaven, his teaching about the light of the body, trusting one master. You see, that sixth chapter It's got a lot of things in it that we are going to be dealing with. I pray that each one of you will join with me, God willing, in the morning at 10 o'clock and back into His Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you for this Word. I thank you for the time that we have, Father, that we can come together to study your Word. And that we can spend time with each other, Father, and with you, dealing in the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Israel, Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, Father, as we separate this evening, keep us in health. Keep us safe. And as we rest through the night, Father, let us wake some morning in time for service and wake refreshed. Touch those, Father, with that healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is walking with sickness and disease. Make them whole, Father, and we're asking all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. For Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Amy and Tom and Jacob, for myself and all of our families, may the Holy Spirit work within our families to help to lead each and every one to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make us all stronger, strong in faith, strong in our trust, so that we, when we step out of this life and into eternity, we can go on home to be with Jesus. Now, Father, we praise you. We praise you, Father, and we thank you for everything that we have, for everything you've done for us. And Father, let us always be thankful for anything and everything that you do. And use us, Father, in great and mighty ways to help others that are walking in weakness and in darkness, so we can bring them closer to the Lord Jesus. We know, Father, you give the increase, but use us as your helpers. Now, Father, keep us. This is my prayer this evening, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great night now. and a good evening to everybody.